allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
See, roll call, we're missing Charles and Mark. They did call in, so we knew they were going to be gone. Next is citizen input, so if there's any citizens here that would like to address the council on matters that are not on the agenda, raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you, and you have up to 5 minutes, and if you come up to the mic after I acknowledge you, state your name and address. Okay, then I'll close citizen input. Do I hear a motion on the approval of the agenda?
Motion.
Ken Johnson first.
Second.
Ken Kayers second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes. Do I hear a motion on the consent agenda?
So moved.
So Dan first and Mark Snyder second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, opposed the same? All right, that passes also then. Sandhill Crane Festival presentation, Dixie.
Hi.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to, the committee asked me to come back to the council and give a little bit of a report of where we are and what's going on, and of course, also to thank the council so much for the help that we received from the city. As you have been well aware, that your employees spent many hours doing what we needed left to be done. And we just didn't have anyone who could donate that kind of time and keep their job. And so it was just really important that that go on. And we also just really appreciate the City Council validating the Crane Festival. You know, it's been going on now, this is the 14th year, and I think this is the first time that the committee themselves have really had some backing from someone within the city in that to say, you know, this is a good thing. This is something that is important to our city. So we do appreciate that as well. We also want to make note of the high quality of employees and the standard that this was carried out with by your employees. You are very, very fortunate to have the professionalism within the City Hall that you have. And we want you to be very aware of that.
Thank you.
And of course, the good news is we have registered so far about 275 people. That may not sound like a whole lot at this point in time, but it's where we've always been, about a week and a half out from the festival. So we're feeling, in fact, it's a little bit better than we were last year with the downturn in the economy last year that we felt a little bit. So we're back up to where we were in 09 and 08. So we're feeling really excited about that. Let's see. I've been making the remark. I said my facetious remark for this month is going to be, we canceled it, and the people still come. So, but you know, that really speaks for the quality of the festival. When word gets out, and many, many people have mentioned to me, as I do the registrations online, I've talked to probably 150 people in the last 10 days. And they remind us that they'd heard it was canceled. They were so thankful that it came back on board. Also, I had one gentleman today that called me from Post Falls, Idaho, and he explained to me he's been down here twice already looking for the cranes. And of course, as we were talking earlier, Tim, they're a little hard to find at times. Mm-hmm. And so he's still looking for them, and he would be back down at least one more trip. So we know they're coming not just for the festival, but we have an awful lot of people who are coming into town at this time of year for the next couple of months. And that speaks well of our town and the kind of money that comes in through sales tax and the other things that are there. So we did want to give you each a brochure. And so Lori's going to bring those around, and I think she's even got some extras for the audience. And of course, I wanted to remind all of you that there's a Rotary breakfast at the festival. And that's something you do not have to pay to go to the festival to attend. You can support the local Rotary. There's also going to be the Fireman's Spaghetti Feed that Friday night, and that also doesn't require any admission to the festival. And over at Rikert's Theater, they have a movie this year. It isn't what was in the brochure. That one got pulled from us. But we do have one on hummingbirds that will be shown on Saturday afternoon. And that's a great way for local people to help support one of our local businesses. And we're also looking for ways to bring other businesses into this, that they can actually benefit from it. And if anyone ever thinks of a way that we could spread this out a little farther and bring another business in, we'd certainly be more than willing to look at that and to work with someone on that. And that's all I really have to say. Are there any questions?
Well, I'd like to thank you for the city, even because sitting in the meetings at the beginning, well, you get a real education what it takes for a volunteer force to make this happen. I mean, I was shocked. I didn't realize what was going on. So, you know, and you folks have really put the time out and made it a very quality. That's why I hear quality, quality, quality. You know, it's things that people want to go to because they know they're going to get quality and enjoy the events that they go to. And, you know, that speaks a lot for the group that's been involved in this and working so hard over the years. And so we want to say thank you also for you for all the work that all of them. So let them know how much we appreciate it, too. So
I'd love to. And I think that's where the misconception was when we did decide early on that we weren't going to do it for 2011 was the fact that knowing how much work we had left, we sat at the table and I said, it looks like we've got at least 80 hours that left to do and we've got 3 weeks to do it. Does anybody here who is had the capabilities of doing it as well, because not just everybody can get on the phone and start calling people and request them to speak and that type of thing. And so it was that no one just really had that kind of time. Like I said, you work 40 hours a week and to go home and work another 40 isn't going to happen for most people. And so that's where we were at. But we had made up our minds that skipping 1 year might be the better way than to put on less than what we had done in the past. And that's where we were holding our ground, that it had to be at least what we had been doing in the past, if not better.
I'll tell everybody thank you.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, rural development. Ben?
Well, first of all, thank you, Mayor Wilson and council members. Greatly appreciate your time in giving me talk about single-family housing and how the U.S. DARD comes to help. That really does make a big difference in the state of Washington, our rural areas that we serve for the 12 counties. So thank you. First of all, I'd like to go ahead and talk about how single-family housing, what it has done in this state. For over the past 2 years, we have spent over $1 billion in this state alone in single-family housing. Overall, that's quite an accomplishment. Not only that, but we have created $31.5 million in Washington state tax revenue, not including what it has done just and how it's gone into local businesses. So this is really, really some awesome information. Also, I want to go ahead and talk about how single family housing 504 home program really makes a difference for our local homeowners. Let's say that, for example, 20 years ago you were retired, you have your home paid off and whatnot, so you're on a fixed income, you're on a low income right now. Now your home needs repairs. We're talking a roof, maybe some foundation work, weatherization. So we try to go ahead and collaborate with the local weatherization programs and try and go ahead and meet some of those needs. But not only that, but they can go ahead and give us a call. We send out the application, let them know whether or not they're qualified. And at that point, if we realize they're qualified, we inspect the home. And then we write down all the health and safety needs that need to be met. And from there, if they're qualified, then they find a local contractor. And at that point, they get three contractor bids, and they may, especially if they're 62 years or older, qualify for a one-time lifetime grant of $7,500, or the loan of $20,000 for 1% interest. It is really a wonderful program, and then we determine what it is depending on payment repayment ability on what the payment may be. We understand their low income, and we also understand that you know, we want to go ahead and try to address those issues. If, let's say, they may be able to afford, if it's showing it through repayment ability $50 a month, then that's what the payment may be for, let's say, 10, 15 years. If the amount of the loan may not be up to $20,000, it may be something of $12,000 plus an addition of the grant. So in many ways, this is a wonderful program, and what I want to go ahead and request is that the council members and the mayor please consider putting us on your building statements. If you, for information, 504 home repair, if you put them on the building statements, especially for your public utilities, most people that are receiving a billing statement are homeowners, so they can go ahead and be aware of our program. It, like I said, it helps the community, helps the homeowner, and helps put money into your local area especially. And so while we have funds available at this time for a 504 home repair program, I certainly want to go and do a lot of outreach and try to let our citizens know what wonderful programs that we do have and how this can benefit, especially our homeowners, to our contractors, to the local community itself. So I will leave some information here, and if there's any questions, please, you know, feel free or have the local community give us a call, you know, in our Yakima area office. You know, we are more than willing to send out applications, explain the program, help them fill out the application, and really address what needs to be done. We have a great group of people that work for the USDA, and let me tell you, we just want to help and do good things. Have any questions?
Questions for Beth? Do you have a...
You
said something about putting it in our billing statement.
Right.
Me talking like one of these sheets or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, actually putting it on the billing statement itself, if there's room for it, to call the USDA, or if you have a newsletter, that would be wonderful for us to be added to the newsletter, whether it's quarterly or whatnot that you send out to the local community. We would certainly like to be part of it, so we can go ahead and do as much outreach as possible, and also let the contractors know. You know, I think if the contractors were to be aware of our program, it really does make a big difference. Because if they know if people that may qualify, it would be something that would put contractors to work. You know, purchasing materials locally, I mean, it's a win-win for the community itself. And, you know, the worst thing I can say is, sorry, no, they don't quite qualify, but the best thing that happens, we get 10, 12, maybe 20 projects up here in the Othello area, and that does make a big difference. You know, if we're talking possibly they may be qualified for a $20,000 loan plus the $7,500, that does help improve the community and help also improve the economy in this local area and put contractors to work. So this is something that really, really I want to stress and especially make a difference for the homeowners.
I think it's a great opportunity, that's for sure. But we'll look at it, aim and stuff, and see what we can do about that. Get back to the council and we'll get a hold of you and see what happens.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for your time. Any questions? Ben or Eamon?
Mayor, we have a contractors meeting in April where we invite all the contractors, the local contractors, and we can invite Ben to that meeting.
Oh.
That would be wonderful. If I just get an email on that, I'd love to go ahead and schedule that to my date so I can certainly talk to the contractors because more awareness there is about this. It's really, you know, whatever I can do in outreach is really what I want to have happen. You know, it really does make a difference in community.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Ball field lighting. Larry? And Mike, I assume, right here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Nice to see you all again. On March 3rd, we had a bid opening for the Lions and Kiwanis Parks lighting improvements. We received three bids. The bids range from $123,650.50 to $142,702.50. Unfortunately, the engineer's estimate was $71,082. Prager Electric was the apparent low bidder. We've checked references. They come highly qualified. They've passed the mandatory bidder checklist. They're a qualified contractor. They're not on the state's debarment list. The references we did call talked very highly of them. Sounds like they're a good contractor. They've recently worked in the city of George on the new fire station there, so they're familiar with public works projects. They have done work in various parks before. We took a look at the bids and tried to understand. In fact, one of the local contractors that did not bid the job indicated to us before the bid the reason why they didn't put in a bid. It seems like the contractors were concerned about the crane and crane operator that would be necessary to put up the light poles, light fixtures at Lions Park. They're about 70 foot tall, so they'll have to get specialized equipment and operators to do that. And at least two contractors were concerned about the ability to find personnel that could do that work. We also think our estimate was just low. We tried to make it fit in to the budget that the city didn't have available, and as it turns out, because of the spread, I think, and that's a fairly tight spread, especially the second and third bid, contractors, that's just how much they're going to charge to do the work. We discussed with Eamon a few different options, and I believe Mike has some information as far as the budget that the city has.
Oh, yeah.
At this time, should the city elect to award, we would recommend award to Predator Electric in the amount of the low bid, $123,316.50, should the city have the funds to do the work. Any questions?
I have a question on the Dorsey Electric. On the Kiwanis Park lighting improvements, their estimate is double the other two. Is there something these other two aren't seeing, or is there something this guy missed, or, I mean, how can it be double?
It's always hard to try to second guess a contractor on a bid, but that's the first thing we saw also when we looked at the spreadsheet. I think they just thought it was going to be more difficult than anyone else did. Their numbers are reverse of everyone else's. And it's also possible they could have put the wrong number on the wrong line. Contractors usually are in a hurry when they put their bids together. It's at the last minute. And if they don't proof it or check it, we found many mistakes before. I don't have a real answer for you, Mark, except that they saw something others didn't. We've checked with the low bidder. He doesn't seem to think that there's any problems with really either job.
Go ahead, Ken.
Well, Larry, I just between me and what little I know about construction, normally when an engineer estimates something, normally you're fairly close. I mean, I don't like a few dollars off, but we're talking 73% difference between your cost and the low bidder. We're talking 100% between the other contractors. Do you think that's a little out of line? I mean, just because they can't find a crane operator, I'm going to operate the crane for them.
You're absolutely right. We are embarrassed with it. This is the last 3 years, the thing, the only one that we've had as the low bid, if you will. I think it's partly the sign of the times, partly the type of work, and we just flat were low.
See me like that's a lot of difference. Because I watched you prior to this, and you're not that far off on these things. You know, if our street project had done that, I wouldn't want to say what the cost of that would be.
We don't disagree.
Do you think this is a fair bid?
Yes. Talked to the contractor. He said that they are basically finishing up all the work they have. They're looking for another project, so they are actively would like to get going on it as soon as possible. It's a little lower than the second and third bid, and of course the second or third within a couple thousand of each other. It's, I think, a good bid range, 120 to 140 in that range. If we had more bidders, we might have seen a little less, but they probably would have been in the same range.
Any more questions for Larry?
How much do we have left in the budget?
Mike's going to go over that in just a second.
Okay, thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Mike?
The discussion we have up here, in 2010 we budgeted $240,000 for park lighting, and we spent $151,493 during the year in 2010. So we basically, and we didn't budget anything for 2011. So the $88,507 went into fund balance, basically what it did. And then now the low bid for the installation is $123,316, which is a difference of $34,809. So that would be new money. The $88,000 was something we had budgeted now, and then basically it's in fund balance. So the $34,809 is new money. And actually we're asking for $130,000 to give us an additional, $6,684 for contingencies. So that's how it looks right now. The estimated ending fund balance in 2011 in the general fund is $1,097,000. So this will take us under $1 million in fund balance. If council feels uncomfortable with that, we could still use the real estate excise tax fund. I think it's going to have about $442,000 in it by year end. I know that there's a concern for that fund to be used for, if we get a new park, or when we get a new park, to use that for development. But it is another option.
I guess my feeling right now is the way the economy is, and I don't think we should go over what we've already budgeted for this project. So my opinion, I think we would have to either do one park or the other and wait on the other. I don't think that we should spend more than it's already been budgeted for this project.
Any other comments?
I see great interest in it. I don't get the Lions Park done. We've already had one tournament on it for sure. And I know there's been a lot of interest in a lot of other tournaments starting to schedule this year. And I really see, and we've already spent a lot of money on this project already. This would get that project complete. It would be done and final. I know Kiwanis Park, we were going to do lighting for safety measures. And that's still a concern down there. The cameras and the lighting is still a great concern. I do want to see that accomplished.
So what are you saying, Ken? He said both here.
It's a hard decision, but it would get these projects finished. It would get them off the books. It would get them completed.
I
know it's over the engineer's estimate, but all three bids that we did calculate were very, very close. So that's going to be what the project's going to cost. I don't think we're going to be able to get it much cheaper if we wait to go out on bid again. It might even be higher, possibly. Because construction cost, price of fuel, all that other stuff is starting to go up now. It's going to greatly affect it.
But like on the Kiwanis Park lighting improvement, that might be something that a local contractor could do because you're not putting up 70-foot tall poles. And if you look in here, the mobilization and demobilization is $10,000. If they're already here in town, they're not going to charge $10,000 for that. And this other one here is $25,000, $7,000. You know, so there would be a savings there. But, you know, that's my opinion. I don't think we should go over budget.
Would the contractor be willing to accept the Lions Park?
We need to talk about that for just a second. Excuse me for interrupting, but talking to Catherine, Larry, we need to ask you a couple quick questions. The bid wasn't bid that way. You didn't have a Schedule A or something that could break out Kiwanis Park. So we, in fairness to all the contractors, we bid it one way, and it has to be considered that way. We can't, you make a good point, Mark, an excellent point, matter of fact. But we can, at this point, break it out to do that. The points that Councilmember Johnson brought up about safety, we also have cameras in this, and that's for public safety and lighting in the parks and due to all the vandalism in Kiwanis Park. Yes. So that's why we were bidding it all together as a package. The other thing that's important, Larry, could you address the time frame, 35 days? And
right. Contractor has 35 working days, approximately 7 weeks, to complete or get to substantial completion for both parks. We can talk to the contractor as far as which park we want them to do first. Lions Park would be the choice, because we know we have ballparks that we use. The bases that the poles stand on are precast, so we don't have to worry about cure time. So the fact of getting in, the equipment's already been purchased, contractor can move on immediately after contracts are signed to install the equipment that the city's already purchased. So we'd have Lions Park up and running before the end of April, which is, I believe, when the next festival or competition is scheduled.
The tournament start. And Councilmember Garcia called today and wanted to make sure that the council understood the necessity to get them up before play started, which is the end of April. And that's why it was important that we shared with you there's a 35-day construction window here, and week and a half of notifications and paperwork before the 35 days start. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Get contracts signed.
Right. So that's why it was put together the way it was relative to the budget. We talked about it last year in the budget process in September, October, November. And we thought at one time we could get it done because we did budget it last year, and then it didn't get bid. We didn't get it done at the end of last year. So basically the money's carried over in the beginning fund balance, as Mike said. We're asking, because of the bid escalated prices, that you add the 34,809 to the 88,000 and award the bid to, I forgot the name, Larry. Yes, so we're asking that you do that, and we will come back with a budget amendment to cover the monies for the bid.
Go ahead, Ken.
One more question for Larry while we're here. I know it's past the fact here, but supposedly you had $31,000 in there for the installation of these, and evidently we saved a little money from the purchase of the lights. What you had figured, because we end up with $88,000, is that right? In other words, our estimate was right on the lighting, and we actually saved money on that portion of it.
So the lighting is stored in Public Works right now. We have all the lighting.
I just, you know, put the two apples together here so we know where we're at here, because we're actually from the $71,000 up to the $140,000. Well, yeah. Almost double of what we would have been.
If you look at the $88,000 that would be carried forward, if I understand Mike here, and you might have a slide over with me, but the $88,500 would be from the 2010 budgeted forward, and then the difference of $34,800 would be needed to fund the entire project.
Right.
Plus a little contingency.
Right. We just rounded to 130, sure. Larry. Yeah.
Any more questions? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make the motion.
To
the bid from Prager. Prager Electric. Second.
Four. For $123,316.
Yeah, $123,316.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, Mark. Thank you, Mark. All right, that passes then. Four, yep. Got four of us, correct? Four of you voted yes, okay. All right, well, thank you, that's good. We want to get that Lions Park done in the safety on Kiwanis, so it's pretty important.
You each have a box of chocolates coming from Charles Garcia tomorrow for the vote.
Yeah. Okay, Othello School District notice and petition for annexation. Amen. He's going to bring it back to us.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight you have before you a petition and a petition and a statement requesting that the city approve an annexation of a piece of property consisting of 40 acres. You see before you the resolution from the school district. Mr. Dwight Remick, assistant superintendent, is here. If you have any other questions, the process goes like this. Normally, the petition comes second after the letter of intent is submitted to the city. The city would accept the letter of intent, and then we would move to the petition. But we asked the county school board to send a joint petition and letter of intent to annex together so that we could expedite this for the school district. They've asked for that. They're under some time crunch to get their response back to the state on the buildability, the construction of their new school by May, and it's going to take a couple months to do this. The process tonight, if you would make a motion to accept the petition, would then be to go to the county if they approve it. Then it comes back to the city council for a public hearing. Once you conduct a public hearing, and you then vote to accept it in its final form. So, to identify the property, is this on? Yeah. Sorry.
You're upside down.
This is a projection camera, and as you can see, once you make the slightest move, it kind of jiggles. The property is at the corner of 14th and Cemetery. It's the 40 acres on the southeast side, identified by the yellow box. The northern boundary is Cemetery Road, where the cursor is, and then on the west side is 14th Avenue. This is currently a bare farm ground with a circle that is a farm unit, but the school district owns at 40 acres. So the school district is asking that you make a motion to accept the petition and forward it to the county for their vote, and then back to the city council for a public hearing. Any questions on the annexation petition?
Okay, so do I hear a motion to accept the petition for annexation submitted by the Othello School District?
I move that, make that motion.
Stan first. Who was second? I didn't catch it. Gina, a second? Okay. Any discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Great.
Thank you.
You're done with that? Good. Okay, cool. All right. Where are we at here? School district. Authorization to allow mayor to sign easement agreement.
You have before you an issue to consider allowing the mayor to sign an easement. The easement, if we can go to the overhead mic. The easement is for the purpose of identifying property. Somehow we've lost a pointer tonight. It's not good, thank you. We have Main Street at the top. See on the east side is Broadway. The facility in the center of the blue square here, this facility is Johnson Glass. Everybody oriented? Mm-hmm. Everybody where that is? The work the same?
Yeah.
Ah, thank you. As you know, there's a signal at this intersection and the signal box was located somewhere here in the front, and through the project has been moved to the side. I think the batteries were out there. So what we are asking council with the approval of the owner of Johnson Glass is that we carve out a 5-foot easement which runs along here, so the box would be located right in here. So this 5-foot area, sorry, the light keeps going out. This 5-foot area in here would then revert to the city as an easement. So I think that pretty much describes it. And again, this is an overhead. And if you look at the line, the blue line right here, goes right through the building. That's really not true. This is a not to scale overhead aerial picture. And it's really just 5 feet from the front of curb. So it doesn't go through the building. We're not talking about taking any of his building away from it. So it's just 5 feet where the pedestal will be right out in this area.
It also keeps from having obstruction if you're coming down that direction, so which is a good way to move it around to the side where it won't be in people's vision when they come around the corner and stuff. So,
right.
Any other questions for Eamon?
We're asking that the council approve the mayor signing an easement to this effect.
Oops, I'm in the wrong one. Come on.
Move to authorize the mayor to execute the easement agreement with Johnson Glass and Doors LLC, Ken Johnson owner, for an easement to allow the placement of operation and operation of maintenance of city-owned equipment.
Okay, we
street
need
street signalization.
Yeah. We need to change the motion a little bit. I'm not sure if we're doing this right. Ken Johnson does not own it. It needs to be Richard Johnson. So
okay.
Do we need
straight to Ken Johnson, put in Richard Johnson.
Is that good? Is that good enough? All right. Do I hear
second.
A second?
I'll second.
Ken? Okay, seconded.
All right. Mayor, I also have to excuse myself from this vote.
Okay, thank you. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes then. Dwight, I know you have a meeting, so if you need to go to that meeting, that's fine. But we appreciate you coming.
I just want to extend that on behalf of the school board, our thanks to Eamon and Daryl and Terry for their assistance as we're going through this project. They've made themselves available at several meetings, and we really appreciate all the efforts that they put forward. And also to Dan, who's a member of our facilities committee, who's been there giving us guidance all along. So thank you for your action.
Good. Good luck getting that money. Okay, where are we at here? Where are we at? Okay, resolution surplus city property. Chief Finnegan.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. The issue here tonight that I'm bringing before you is just a simple passing of a resolution to surplus outdated and obsolete police equipment that we have in our inventory. Also, old vehicle parts such as the old blue and red satellite bars and the old plastic seats and screens that divide the passenger compartment from the driver's compartment. And then a lot of property, unclaimed property, found bicycles, recovered bicycles, things that we're overflowing on right now. We've held them as long as we can by law. We're able to get rid of them now. So this is really kind of a housekeeping issue for the police department to clean up and get rid of inventory that we no longer need the property so we can open up space. There is no cost. What normally happens in these situations is propertyroom.com comes, they take everything that we surplus that's on that list that you have on the resolution. They take that away, they advertise it, they sell it. Whenever they sell, we get a portion back, the check is sent back to the police department and then given to fiscal. There is a very good tracking and audit procedure in place. It has been checked by the state auditor the last time that they were here, and they liked it, so we're going to continue auditing it the same way. So with that, there is no money that we have to outlay ourselves, and we would recommend and ask that you pass this resolution to declare these items as surplus.
Questions for the chief? Do I hear a motion to move to pass the resolution declaring the named property surplus? Gina first. Ken Kaler second. Any more discussion? None? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? All right. Thanks, Chief. That passed. All right. An ordinance creating OMC section 6.04.015 titled Number of Dogs.
Pursuant to discussions at two previous city council meetings, city attorney, based on your comments, have put together four different ordinances. Remember, our issue was to clean up the ordinance so we do not have a conflict between two of our ordinances. So we've done that. We've taken the council comments and incorporated them into four different ordinances, one relative to Title VI, and the other three relative to Title 17, which is zoning. I'd like to walk through them with you tonight to ensure that they say what you want them to say, number one. And number two, to explain a couple little differences that we added to, we hope, make them better and to fit into what you wanted. So we're gonna walk through these. But remember, as the mayor and I discussed today, we could say, well, what if, to death on these types of ordinances. What if a new person came to town, he didn't know about the ordinance? You know, that sort of thing. We could do that from now on and not get it refined to reflect every single situation that might arise. That being said, these may not be exactly what you want. So if they're not, and it could take some small tweaking tonight, let's do that. If it takes some major revision, that's okay, just let us know what you want to change and we'll further modify these to reflect what you want. Take the first one, which is an ordinance created with Pelham Municipal Code section 6.04.015 entitled Number of Dogs. This is relative to your comments limiting three per household. So number one, created a new section of the Pelham Municipal Code, Number of Dogs, number one, limit. Maximum number of dogs for each dwelling or lot is limited to three over the age of 4 months. Now this has a small correction to it. City Council said 12 weeks. We checked with some veterinarians locally, and the staff had already done this actually, and found that 4 months is a more appropriate age because they cannot receive rabies shots at 12 weeks, which is what we discussed previously. They can have puppy shots, but not rabies shots, which was one of the conditions that the council asked for. So we left 4 months in the ordinances. Number two, exceptions to the limit. Now the council talked about exceptions and what those would be. Kennel permits, more than three dogs is permitted for hobby, and this is a new term, and define a hobby kennel and a commercial kennel, as defined in OMC 1709, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Upon issuance of a permit pursuant to OMC 17.56. B, residential foster dogs, and this is the last issue we discussed, permit up to five dogs. And that means three dogs permitted plus two as a foster would be a total of five per resident. That may or may not be what you want. That's just the way it ended up. 3 dog plus 2 for foster, is permitted with a current residential foster dog permit obtained from the city. Item C, and this is your grandfathering clause, if you will, existing pets. Any family possessing or keeping more than 3 dogs over the age of 4 months at the time of adoption of this ordinance may maintain those same dogs and is exempt from this section, provided that the same number of population shall not increase, and that the event the same number of population decreases, it shall remain at a decreased number or population and shall not increase. The council's desire was to allow those currently licensed with more than 2 dogs or 3 dogs to continue, but over time they come into compliance by the numbers of dogs, either through sale, death, or some other way that the dogs are removed from the current residence, that the number be reduced and reduced until it complies with 3, unless they have a hobby kennel. So that section 6.04, the ordinance basically just says 3 dogs over the age of 4 months per resident. Then it sets out the others that are in the other section, the zoning sections. So with that, if there are any questions or if anybody wants to adopt it as is, we would entertain questions.
Go ahead, Ken.
I've got one small question here. We're talking about 3 dogs like we talked about, and we're talking about 2 dogs foster. And then when we get into the foster portion of that, we say that they can only have that for 60 days and then they can be renewed for another 60 days.
Right.
Would that be all they could have, or could they continue that? Say they get rid of those dogs and they have another dog or 2 dogs after that period. Would this take care of that situation?
Yes. Basically, you're saying 2 foster dogs, no matter how many other dogs you have, 2 foster dogs, period. And you have, you're right, the Chapter 17 ordinance says up to 60 days with a one-time renewal of another 60 days by staff. If they wanted to exceed that, they could come to council and ask you for another extension.
Any more?
I want to be sure that we're on the same page here, not like
absolutely
before. So.
Let's be clear.
I guess my question, I'm not quite agreeing with, is more than 3 dogs is permitted for a hobby. Aren't we trying to restrict this down to 3 dogs? It's not a hobby, just you and I, and we get our dog pregnant to breed and to sell. On a hobby, should not be more than 3 dogs? Because we're not trying to make kennels. I mean, that's, we're trying to, the hobby person is our average citizen. Isn't that what I understand?
Yeah, the hobby definition is in the next ordinance, but it says, basically this says, they can have a hobby kennel with 3 or more dogs, or a commercial kennel, and then we define that again in Title 17. This all is doing is laying the groundwork for the other ones so we're consistent.
But do we want more than 3 dogs in the hobby?
No.
Because I wouldn't think we would.
I thought our intention was to have the
three-dog
limit, and then if they wanted to have a hobby kennel with those 3 dogs, that was...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Good clarification.
Because I don't, on a hobby, when I don't think I want to be more than 3 dogs, to me that becomes a commercial kennel. So, but that's my view. Okay. 5 dogs plus 2. Each 4 months. Anything else the council sees in there? Okay.
So with that clarification, if we added the word under A, kennel permit, colon, no more than 3 dogs is permitted to a hobby, would that clear that out, Mayor?
Total of 3 dogs.
Well, it's got to be changed, but you can't say or commercial kennels, because they can have more than 3.
We just take out the commercial kennel, well, no, because that's defined in what we see in the 17 section.
We have 2 separate sentences.
Well, Is it council's intention that no more than three dogs, period, be permitted unless you're in the grandfathering clause or you're fostering a dog? I mean, is that, if that's the basic intent, then what we would do is simply delete the hobby kennel provision altogether and just allow commercial kennels.
But the hobby kennel could have three dogs and still have the litters of puppy, because the litters are not licensed, licensed dogs.
But you can have puppy litters of puppies anyway under the restriction, because they're going to be under the age of 4 months. The hobby kennel provision was only included if the council wanted to allow the three dogs per residence plus those people that engaged in the small hobby kennels to breed with additional dogs, not necessarily the three household pets.
Did the hobby kennels ever give a limit on, or a number on the how many dogs could be allowed?
How many litters a year?
Yeah. Or how many dogs could be allowed, the permitted dogs?
Well, for the adults, it would be limited to the number in the hobby kennel, and it's three. And then they're limited to the number of litters per calendar year.
And that's, I think that's all we were saying.
Yeah, I think we're all in sync now. Just to answer your question, the definition of hobby kennel, small non-commercial kennel adjoining a private residence and operated by the resident where registered purebred dogs are, and you can strike purebred if you want, purebred dogs are kept and or bred for hunting, training, exhibition, for organized shows, field work, obedience trials, or for the betterment of the breed. Hobby kennels are limited to three litters per calendar year per residence. Not three per dog, or not three litters per year per residence. And did that answer your question, Gina? You asked about litters.
No, I think I was asking about
how many
in the ones that we looked at in the hobby kennels, did it ever say how many permitted dogs could be kept in those hobby kennels? You're limited to three litters per year, but how many dogs?
There is no restriction in the current definition of hobby kennels. So if you want to limit, you need to think about two things. Number one, is the hobby kennel in addition to the three dogs that are permitted outright? If it's not, then we need to redefine the hobby kennel. If it is in addition, then you want to restrict in your hobby kennel definition how many adult breeding dogs, basically, you're going to allow.
Deb.
So I think Catherine's first comment, just delete hobby kennel, satisfies everything that you're talking about.
But do I hear if you have a regular three dogs and then you apply for a hobby kennel, then you get three more?
Right.
So you have six dogs.
That's the way it's worded currently. But if you delete hobby, then you can have three dogs plus three litters a year per resident.
Three per resident, either way.
Mm-hmm. So we need to leave the three dogs as permitted for hobby in there so they don't go for three dogs, is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm asking is, do you want to restrict the number of dogs per residence in your residential zones to just three dogs and no more than three litters per year? If that's the case, if that's what you want, then we just take out the hobby kennel definition, period. And so you can have three dogs whether or not you breed them or not.
The limit would be the three
litters per year. Right. If you choose to breed your dog.
Since we're taking the hobby kennel, if we took the hobby kennel definition out, where do we have the restriction on the three litters?
We would include that in the ordinance revision. So it would be limited to three dogs per residence and no more than three litters per residence per calendar year.
Foster dogs
in too? No, they're in addition.
They're in a special permit.
They'd
still be able to do that with special permit.
Right.
So if you got all this together, you got your three pets, you apply for a kennel permit, you get three more.
No. Well, we're doing three dogs. Sorry.
That's the way it reads
but
now.
But that's, that's an exception to the limit.
Right.
And then if you apply for a shelter dog, you get two of those. So in essence, if you applied for all of this, you could end up with eight dogs, right?
Eight adult dogs, yes.
Eight dogs, not including any pups.
Unless you take out the hobby kennel part.
Unless you take out the hobby kennel, then you're down to five.
Right.
Then you'd be down to five, yes. And we're talking about that. You're right.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, let's be clear, because we're going to have to enforce this. So Mayor, is that the consensus that we leave hobby kennel?
So everybody wants to leave hobby kennel. We want to stick with three dogs and three litters?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Per home.
That was what I thought was going to come back.
Okay.
Okay, we'll make that change and bring it back.
Okay.
So then if we move on to the second one, which is 17.09, entitled kennel, we've already taken care of number one, which is eliminating.
Excuse me, Eamon, before you move on. Is there, you want to just step down for a second? Is there any citizens that want to put input on this just for a second, Eamon?
I just want to know that I can have three dogs with three permits, like we talked last week, or three litters, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's,
and you get to keep all your dogs.
If somebody wants to foster, I don't, but if somebody wants to foster, they can have three dogs plus the two.
For 60 days. And a renewal at the end.
They have 120 days.
That's a good sum.
And the foster, I mean, once they get through fostering two dogs and they've got rid of them, can they get a permit for another two?
Yes, they meet the conditions.
Yep.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah. Okay, Amy, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead on the next one.
I apologize, Mayor.
Let's give the citizens an opportunity when you're done each time so that they can.
Right. So in 1709-430, hobby kennel will delete for your guidance, and that will leave us with a commercial kennel, if you so desire. A place where dogs and or cats, remember we want to keep both in this one, are kept by persons for breeding with the offspring offered for sale, or where such dogs and or cats are received for care, training, and boarding for compensation. Is that your desire to have a commercial kennel?
Do we want commercial kennels in the community, in the city limits?
Well, that's just the definition. Doesn't it say in the next ordinance that they're only in industrial areas?
Right.
Right, that's in the next one.
Okay.
So we'll bring this one back, which is commercial kennel.
So this is just definitions.
Right.
Any comments from the citizens?
What is my kennel going to be called in town, in a resident? Is it going to be a commercial?
You're grandfathered in because of your dogs
yes,
already.
Dogs,
and you're allowed up to three.
Called three dogs.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I understand that.
Well, there will be a limitation on three litters per year,
in
but
city,
there won't. You won't be called anything. You will be.
You are defined, except that you are allowed to continue as identified in 6.04.
Okay, and the one dog that you would let me license back in December that I had for X amount of months, I could re-license.
But as of right now, that still remains outside the limits. What she's indicating is she previously had eight dogs, is that correct? That were licensed.
I have a total of nine.
You previously had eight that were licensed. And the council's pseudo moratorium said continue to license those dogs that were licensed previously. So we, again, for 2011, allowed her to license eight dogs. Since she licensed eight dogs, she has now another dog. Means nine. So is your question, what happens to that ninth dog?
Yeah.
Can you license it or not?
Yeah, because when it is my understanding they had to be 6 months old. I could have them until they were 6 months old at that time.
Right at that time.
And he was 6 months old, or she is.
Mm-hmm. And diligently she came and asked, should I license this dog? And and per the guidance of the council, we said, no, that's outside the parameters. You have not had this license before. So here's another what if, what we did. The way it stands now, she would not be allowed to license a ninth dog, or somebody that had five in the past wouldn't be allowed to license six, because they had not had that number licensed previously. That was the guidance we've been working on from council.
The guidance you want to stick with?
Yeah.
Yes? Yep.
Well, now, Mr. Minner, I've had this dog here for 6 months. I took him in at the 6 months' time to license him. You told me you wait until this business was all done with.
That's right. To see where all of this fell out. That's correct. But it's just now stating that you can have the dogs that you had in the past that were licensed, but no more. It's like somebody that had five dogs didn't have a sixth one. That's what this says.
Okay. Next one, Eamon.
Are you okay, Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
The next ordinance is 17.56, 125, entitled Use of Premises. Now, this is in the zoning laws, and this is use of your property, and it goes further in working with definitions. It says where you can have. So use of premises, and again, we're going to delete the hobby kennel pieces out of this. So section A would be deleted. Section B, the annual fee for hobby kennel, would be deleted. Section C, all hobby kennels shall be operated, would be deleted. And D would be deleted. Everybody down to number two, so we're left with number two, commercial kennels, as defined in OMC 1709, are permitted only in the industrial zone, subject to the following. Now, I just want to make sure everybody understands. Says industrial zone, doesn't say business zone, doesn't say commercial zone, says industrial zone. A commercial kennel permit must be applied for, and there's no fee there. If you want a fee, we can stick that in. If you wanted to establish a fee for a commercial permit, and obtained from the city prior to the establishment of a commercial kennel. Any person desiring to obtain such a permit must file an application on a form provided by the city with the animal control officer or his designee, containing information that will be put on the form by the city. B, the annual fee for a commercial kennel, and here's a fee at $100. You can delete that, change it, whatever you want. That's something we did not discuss before. Commercial kennel permits shall expire 1 year from the date of issuance, and the permit may be revoked for non-compliance prior to the expiration date. C, all commercial kennels shall be operated so as to provide for the proper care and licensing of the animals, including but not limited to a sufficient food, drink, shelter, protection, veterinary care, and sanitation. What that addresses is these potential puppy mills that just run through dogs, and it's just for profit, and they really don't care, take very good care of the animals. So again, we're left with just commercial kennels in ordinance 17.56. The one question was the establishment of a fee. Is that something the city council would like to do or not?
Would that have to be licensed as a business then?
Mm-hmm.
It would be standard business?
It's a business, yes.
What's a business license called? So is that normal fee for a business license? Never had applied for a business license. I don't know.
You want to just remain a business license? So we can add just to obtain a business license?
I don't know. I think you want to keep track of the kennels so that you can check them for proper sanitation and everything else. And
specifically,
I wouldn't
kennels.
Do just the business
okay.
license.
Well, you can have a $100
yeah.
permit also.
That was thinking of
well,
that fee is the extra inspection.
Yeah, I think the permit, you know, having the extra permit is a good thing.
So specifically for commercial kennels and the animal, mm-hmm. not
yeah.
just the business
just,
license.
Just the commercial kennels.
Can I ask another question here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we got a commercial kennel. What about dog licenses? Do they have to license every one of those dogs?
No.
Or does it come under this $100 if we if we decide to give them a fee.
No, they would need to be licensed, so the licensing board should really instruct. In fact, I have a line to mine. But you could require, upon sale, if they're going to be in the city limits, that they be licensed upon sale. But no, just regular business license, if that's where I heard you end up.
Well, I think we need something in there to make up the difference between, say, a dog license for other people. Because, you know, technically you get a dog here, so why not have the license here? But at least license the whole business one way or the other.
Yeah, the business would be licensed.
Especially above your business license.
Yeah, for the inspections, yeah. Right? So if you're thinking that, what sort of fee would you think? We put in $100 just as a round number.
How many dogs are they allowed to keep again?
There's no limit on commercial cats.
Something I wonder if we shouldn't put a limit on. I don't know.
That would be hard because a commercial kennel could also include boarding of the animals. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And grooming. And
that could constantly turn.
And then you're restricting business.
So, yes.
Yeah.
How are you going to keep control? Noise or whatever.
Well, that's why they're in
an industrial area. So it also can't be a nuisance to its neighbors, so you know, they're not going to want to be around homes if there's any near it too much. So the guys, the question is, do we want to continue with a commercial kennel permit of $100 and business license? Is that the first thing we need to discuss?
I think that's fair.
Yes, okay. Commercial permit and business license.
At $100?
Yeah.
Okay. And then upon sale, they must be licensed?
If they're sold to a resident of the city of Oklahoma.
I'm sorry, can't
if they're sold to a resident
within the city
limits. Within the city limits.
Right. Okay. We'll bring that one back to you.
Okay, excuse me, Anna. Any comments or questions from the citizens?
I want to get back to my dog when time permits.
Okay, well, let's get through it, and then we'll give you an opportunity to talk for a second. Okay, Eamon, go ahead.
The last issue which we kind of skirted is the residential foster dog permit. And just to read through this briefly, residential foster dog permit is created as follows. Number one, any person desiring to use a residence in any residential zone for the fostering or sheltering of rescue dogs, that's important, shall first procure a permit to do so. Number two, conditions of permit. Permit application shall be on a form provided by the city and shall include all information deemed necessary by the animal control officer, including but not limited to certification from a nationally recognized dog rescue or shelter organization. City Council said that you wanted Pet Rescue to certify that they're fostering these dogs. Well, after research, we have a second dog rescue organization in the city, and they are both nationally certified. So instead of identifying just Pet Rescue, we put nationally recognized dog rescue shelter. That doesn't limit the fostering in the city, which identifies the dog to be fostered, provides proof of vaccination, which the council required, a minimum of all puppy shots, and an identification tag, which the council required. Number three, limit on number. All permits are limited to two foster dogs at any given time. Limit on duration. All permits are limited to a period of 60 days, provided that permittee may request one 60-day extension from the animal control officer. Permit fee. No permit fee is required for residential foster dog permit unless you so desire. So I think that covers the points that the council on relative to fostering a dog.
I would throw one other thing in the mix, and that is, do you want to limit per calendar year how many times they can foster a dog or how many days out of the year they can foster a dog? Because the way it currently reads, they can foster two dogs at any given time as long as they have a current permit. So if they foster two dogs and they get them rehomed, they can go out and apply for another foster dog permit and start again.
So you're saying add calendar year?
Well, if they want to limit it. I don't know that they do or don't, but that's something else to think about if that's an issue.
Two permits and did two extensions That'd be 240 days?
120 days.
Well, yeah, but two, if we allowed them to do two times for your calendar year, that would be 240 days. That's a good portion of the year.
Yeah. That sounds reasonable to me.
I think two would be reasonable, because that gives you a little bit of a break there. It's not the full year, because we're allowing a special permit.
How's everybody feeling? Everybody like the thought?
I don't know if we... I don't feel that we need to limit that. If they're fostering the dog, they're, you know, trying to provide a service, and they're trying to, you know, get those dogs adopted out. You know, they should have that permit for 60 days, and then, you know, if they can't get rid of those dogs in 120 days, you know.
So what would happen in that case, Mark, that's a good point. Somebody receives a foster dog on December 1st, and for 60 days, and we go over calendar year. So unless we're saying each dog every calendar year, from the date of foster for that year, instead of calendar year. Say 1 June, you receive two dogs, well, you get them for 60 days, or maybe an additional 60 days. But then June 1st comes around again, you can't really do it again until June 1st. And this is getting into a little bit of a management issue here.
I guess I
don't know.
You could always take the dog back down there for one day and go down and get it the next day and come back and get another permit. So that'd give you your 240 days anyway. 241. If you did that. I don't see anything wrong with the way it is.
I don't know. I don't. The way it is.
Okay.
So per calendar year?
Well, there's just no restriction, so they could, somebody could always be fostering up to two dogs.
Yeah, and if it becomes a problem, I guess we'll have to address that in the future. So,
right.
You know, because we can adjust the ordinance.
Then we'll have to look at the management.
Well, we reviewed four ordinances, one Title 6 and three Title 17. We have the noted changes, and we'll bring those back to council if that's your desire.
Okay. More questions for Eamon? Thank you, Eamon. Okay. Okay, if you'd like to come up and address the council, give us your name and address, and we'll give you up to 5 minutes.
You okay?
That was my error on the... And this particular dog I'm talking about, I have had for 6 months, which I was going by city limits as to when to license it. I went in December to license it. So I don't understand why he can't be grandfathered in, as my other ones are.
When was our...
If I had licensed him when he was 3 months old or 4 months old, there wouldn't be any argument.
When was our moratorium put on?
I believe it was January.
This January? How old was the dog in January?
He was 6 months.
So she already had the dog before we put the moratorium on and would have been legal.
You only have two dogs before. Right?
Yeah, we had a limit of two dogs.
I can license.
But she's been licensing up to eight.
Yes.
Even with the limit. So she would have been licensing just as she has always done up to that point.
Whatever.
And she already had the dog.
You know, you can have
a dog. Where she is
cause
my, I understand where she is because my dogs are my babies too.
No, but I mean, really, you can have one dog and it not be taken care of.
Yeah.
Now, my vet bill, you could take several cruises on.
So they have to have some bright line.
I take care of my dogs.
the grandfather one to do what?
Just change this to same license.
The question then comes down to if we do one, we have to do all. So where's this thing stop, I guess, is the question.
I have no problem with cutting back to three dogs under what you have given guidelines on. But I do want to keep the dogs I have. I have two that are 9 years old. They're not going to be around much longer.
So, Eamon, she did come in December then. Were we doing dog license in December?
I think so, and so I'd have to look at the record to see exactly when. But she did come in.
It was.
Yeah.
And I came in and she did come in and ask about it.
I think we can figure it out this way. Because you were told, wait and see what the council says, because they said you could have the ones you have.
Right.
So it was after that when she came in.
No, the monitor was there on the desk. That's when I...
Yeah.
She was told she couldn't license the extra one,
but she got the license for the eight. So it's after the council had already talked about it.
Go ahead, Ken. Kayla, sorry, Ken had this end first.
Well, I don't know. Kind of catch 22 here, looks to me like, but if she had that dog prior to that, it wasn't old enough to be licensed. Yes, she come in to try to license that, and then we come up with this moratorium that she can't do that, or whatever we're going to do when we're ever in discussion. I think she still had that dog in possession, and I think she should continue to have it, even if it is out of the bounds here a little bit. But it's still, because technically we haven't even passed it yet as far as how many dogs you can have. It's because we put a moratorium. It doesn't necessary because she already had that dog. I think we should allow it.
I agree.
I think she's been a responsible pet owner, and she's been at every single one of our meetings and been concerned about this. I don't see a problem with letting her have the one.
You do.
And it sounds like she's going to be down below the eight pretty soon anyway. So,
exception.
Okay.
How do you know?
We can fix that.
Just so you know that
it isn't the number of times somebody attends a council meeting. We do this for everybody.
Exactly.
If anybody else comes in with the same situation, wait a minute, I had seven dogs when I only licensed six.
I'm just saying that she's been very responsible and she's been very concerned because she's been here for every meeting. So.
But this applies for everybody that situation.
Sounds like that's what we're doing. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming and putting in like you have. That's great. Unfinished business.
It was just a verbal thing.
Do we have any unfinished business?
New
business? Okay. This meeting's adjourned then. Thank you everybody for coming.
We'll talk.
I catch him before you go to Mother's Lake. That was always my problem with him.
Just call me.
I used to, Jim.
Because I have to bend in the morning.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see Jim. Tell me.
I'm glad you came out.
I will. After I saw everybody writing letters to him, I felt compelled to write a letter to him as well. I haven't been able to print it out. I sat there and bawled.
I too. It took me half a day to get it to Marcy.